You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. By the way, there's about 20 of us who are in Houston right now. They are doing some relief work. Went on Friday night and stayed all day yesterday. They're at church this morning, and they're going to be working a little bit more right after church. So continue to think about them. I'll be talking about that in just a moment. So today, I just wanted to share a few things that have been encouraging me. And hopefully my prayer is that this will encourage you as well. So let's begin, and let's just dwell in this scripture. It's going to be from verse 10 to 22 in Ephesians chapter 2. So let's go ahead and read this together. I'm going to read it. Let's just dwell. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that you, formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, we are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit. The word of the Lord. I love Ephesians. I love this passage. It highly encourages me. So let's take the next just few minutes and let's just let this text rest with us. Let's work through it a little bit. And let's begin by hopefully reminding us of something that I think we need to consistently be reminded of. And that's this. We are all created, just like Raylan, all created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Let me say it again. We are all created to do good works. Now, did you wake up with that mission in mind? This is the first thing you thought of when your feet hit the floor was, I have been created to do good, and I'm going to do that today. That's okay. Sometimes I struggle to think of that too. If you haven't thought that in a while, if you've somehow forgotten, then let Paul, or even me at the least, remind you that you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, not just any works. God's already planned out these works for you. So on Friday, talk about this group. We had a big group, probably 19 to 20 people, go down to Houston, do some relief work. So many people have been itching to help. They just have been asking, when are we going? When are we going? Well, the coordinators there, you see Janelle on the far right over there. She's their children's minister, kind of coordinating a lot of this. They apologized. We are so sorry that a lot more Southeast Church of Christ men are not here to help. we're sorry. And I said, why are you apologizing? Because they've been working for 10 days straight. I mean, these people are doing, they're doing hard, good work. And they've been going, going, going. So I said, don't apologize. Don't worry. You know, they're exhausted. You know, gutting houses is not an easy task, but people need this help in so many ways. So we have a friend. He was a sheriff's deputy for a long time, and now he's a counselor. And he and his wife, they are just the sweetest people, but we got to go to their neighborhood, and most of their neighborhood was probably about up to here on the street. They had about 2-3 feet of water, and this is their house right here. That's about a probably 2,500 square foot house, and that is everything they own on the curb. So one of my friends, one of my close friends, you know Roger Guess is his nephew, who's a really good friend of mine. He's out there and he's doing a lot of this work. And he told me that he was helping them with this house, and across the street, so if you're looking at the house to the left, there's a lady who was coming out of her home with small little handfuls of trash. And she just kept doing this for about 30 minutes as they kept hauling these things out of that other house. And he just saw her and he was looking around. There were no cars in front of her house. And he walked over there and he says, excuse me, ma'am, are you doing this by yourself? And she just stopped and started to cry. So he stood there for a moment with her. And then he asked her, he says, well, would it be okay if when we're finished here, if this whole crew comes and helps you with your house? And then she started to sob. There's a moment when she started to talk and she didn't make any sense. She's in the middle of trying to tell him something, but she's making absolutely no sense. Which is reminding us that there are people in the midst of tragedy that have no church family. They have no family, friends to speak of. They are in such a place in their life where devastation has overwhelmed them and all they can do is speak nonsense words. Completely lost. So that day, my friend and about 10 other men got to do some good. They did good work. And I seem to think that that was a kingdom appointment. That wasn't a coincidence. That wasn't a moment where you just happened to see someone. I think God, a very long time ago, prepared that moment for them, those people. A moment for Jesus to show up at a woman's house, and it was good. And yesterday, I went down there with them, and I came back last night, but we got to do some good yesterday. It was hard, but it was good work. You know, it's what we were created to do. You know, the people who couldn't demo or do the hard cabinet removal, they swept, some delivered meals, some was just standing around for moral support. But for a moment, we were created, we were doing what we were created to do. And I tell you, that's happening all over Houston, all over South Texas, all over Florida right now. And when it comes to natural disaster, devastation, heartbreak, I think in that moment, there are suddenly very few outsiders. I think once you realize that you, along with all of the houses on your street, have been affected by the same thing, suddenly you have neighbors. Paul mentions outsiders in here. Very interesting. Two groups that he talks about. Those who belong to the Jewish people, those who didn't. So to many, eternity, life, death were dependent on whether or not you were in or out. You know, we used to be out. My friend there on that street, they were there to help a church member, an insider. But in a moment, in that trash-filled street with that next-door neighbor, she got insider treatment. It's not because she got lucky. It's not because she was fortunate. It's because the blood of Jesus reached out to her from the hands and feet of a man who had taken his mission very seriously, and it's still happening, whether or not it's devastation or not. There are so many people that are being helped across the world. Even now, there are several people who are just now being helped in these Houston areas. 10 days without any help, and they still got all this mold and things. But I tell you, the good works that we have been created to do, they lead to opportunities for Jesus to bless and to love. What does it say? But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Jesus, God, is ready to transform us into something new. He's ready to take the outsider and make him an insider. He's ready to do something different with us. I mean, when was the last time that you felt like an outsider? You remember that feeling? I mean, I know we always go to the playground, and I was always the last to be picked. I felt outside. You know, we had a clique in eighth grade. It was the Shades, right? We were called the Shades. A bunch of 13-year-olds thought that they knew, and I was so excited I got in. Had my half-muscle shirt with Slick on the back. That was my nickname. You know, for a while, I was not an outsider anymore. Now I look back, and I really wish I had not been an insider in that little group. It's funny, those little areas that we want to so much be a part of. You ever felt like an outsider? You know, God made it very clear to his people. In Exodus 22, he says, you do not need to oppress foreigners because the Jews were once foreigners too. Remember that? In Egypt, the Jews should have remembered. But by the time Jesus stepped onto the scene, the Jews had become very good at reminding people who was out and who was in. So imagine with me for a moment, going up to the temple. You're a Gentile. You're a God follower. You want to see this temple up close. So imagine, just get in your time machine for a minute. Okay, so as a God follower, you're going up to the temple courts. And there's a couple of different ways in, but there's one main entrance. There's lots of mikvahs all around, baptistries. So imagine if this was the temple steps, all out here, you'd have hundreds of little baptistries because people had to ritually purify themselves before they went into the temple courts. So imagine lots of wet people walking up those steps into the temple. Imagine lots of wet people going in there. Now you see a lot of those people. Then you see a massive structure when you got in. Huge. And it was impressive. This second temple was built impressively. It was built to make a statement. So they say that at night, when the floor was so shiny, and this marble floor, that they had these huge pillars. And the very top were these big fire I can't remember what they're called, but it was huge and it was so bright, and whenever it was dark, the floor would shine. City on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine. The light was so bright. So you'd see people walking in wet. Then you'd see this huge temple, Holy of Holies right there, very tall. And then you'd see people around, it'd be busy, you'd see the sights and sounds, imagine the smells, you'd have animals that were going to be sacrificed, you'd have so many different languages being spoken because the God followers were coming from all over. And then you'd see it, you'd get right up close, and then you'd see the fence, a 3-foot tall barrier. If you look right there, see that little interior fence right there? Okay, so that right there is it's the boundary. It's a fence. And it is it's a stone wall about 3 feet high. And I've said this before, but on there was a sign. And it said, foreigners are not allowed to enter here. Anyone who passes this way, the resulting death will be on your own head. So if you were not Jewish, you could not go past that barrier. That was a barrier wall. Now, if you remember, this is supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations. What did Jesus say when he threw out the money changers? My Father's house was supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations, but you instead have made it into a den of robbers. This is a dividing wall between the outsiders and the insiders. Paul mentions this dividing wall of hostility in verse 14. And I think this is what he's talking about. This barrier that keeps people from God. Jesus Christ has destroyed it. God is doing something unheard of here. He's taking both outsider and insider, and he's making something brand new. Why? Because his purpose was to create for himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and one body to reconcile both of them through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. There's a lot of hostility in the world, especially when it comes to people trying to survive. Self-preservation brings out the worst in people. If you only have your own interests in mind or yourself, you're hostile. We see it in large ways, we see it in small ways, but what Paul is saying here is that Jesus has come to put an end to that. No more quarreling between who's in and who's out, because God is creating something new here, and he's giving a new man something in common, these people something in common, and that is the Holy Spirit. Now, the most basic way to describe the Holy Spirit is that it is a gift. It's a gift of being able to see things through God's eyes, to be able to be empathetic like God is empathetic, compassionate like God is compassionate to people who like you and people who don't. It is a whole new way of seeing life. It is not worrying about survival as your first and foremost thing. It's not about trying to survive. It's about how to live. You know, this is what the Spirit of God does for us. And his desire is to get that Spirit, his Spirit, into as many people as possible. As many people that will accept it, accept him. As many people who will believe him. You know, he's giving people access to himself. The wall, it's gone. You know, God is the source of all goodness, of all happiness, of all peace and life and love. He's the source of joy. And he's opening it all up to us. You know, he's creating this home. He's building it one life at a time, and he's opening it up to all of us. But not as guests, as children, part of the family. He's creating a new house, not a brick and mortar. His new house is being joined in the Spirit with us. And it's made solid whenever those of us who have the Spirit of God join him and join together with one another to do good works, to bring others close, to join together by helping God save the lost and the dying and the hostile, the selfish. You know, we see this in times of natural disaster, and there are moments whenever an image is burned into our mind of what is possible when people join together to save something lost. Let's play this.
A group of people forming a human chain on the interstate to try and rescue an elderly man who was being swept away by the floodwaters in his car.
Get chain on him! Come on! Come on! Come on!
Okay, you can turn that. I tell you, there is power in unity. There's power when the people of God get together. And I think there are moments whenever we have to look at what happens in the normal everyday life of normal everyday people to be inspired on how we as Christians ought to be living each and every day of our life. Whenever we're hostile to one another, how could we be helpful if we joined together instead? I love that image because you see lots of different types of people. I love that image because at the very end, when they finally get this old man out of that truck, he was in shock, I'm sure, thinking I could do it. One man takes him in his arms and gets him to safety. There's power when the people of God join together. Paul is talking about that right here. And it's not because of our similarities that we're unified. It's not because of the things that we like or how we look or how much money we have or even the same church we go to. It's power through the Spirit of God. That's it. That's the thing that unifies us. If we can be unified through the Spirit of God, that same Spirit that urges us to do good, to bring people to God, imagine what we could do in the name of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is being built one life at a time, like I said. He's creating a new household, a house not just where we're going to live, but a house that He is going to live in as well. And my question is, whether you are an insider or an outsider, would you join together? Would you like to join Him? So today I'm going to ask you, whether you are in, whether you're out, whatever you are, the house is ready, and it's ready for you today. So the question is that we have to ask ourselves each and every day, are we willing to follow? Are we willing to choose to follow? Are we willing to be a part of this house? And could we choose unity together with one another, with this family, and so that God can make something new out of us? Because it is our choice.
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcasts to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.